Hey everybody, thanks for joining in today on our talk on Channel 9. I'm Andrew Mall, and I've flown up from San Francisco to interview a good friend of mine, Corinne Gulati, who actually works on a really cool team here at Microsoft. He works with Xbox and does analytics on all of our games. So I'm super happy he's able to join us today and kind of impart some of the wisdom that he has on building in-game analytics and what he's learned there. So thanks a lot for being able to join us today.
Yeah, appreciate thanks, it. Andrew. Thanks for getting me in such an awesome studio. So excited to be here. I'm Corinne Gulati, working as a developer in Microsoft Studios, Xbox team. And my core job there is developing big data and BI application. And apart from that, we have a pleasure of playing games a lot. Like during our lunchtime, during our break time, we play a lot of games.
Yeah, so when I met Corinne for the first time, it was about a year and a half or so ago. I was up here visiting for an internal conference, and I walked into his office, and it looked like the land of broken Xboxes and, and all this different cool hardware, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, and it's really, really interesting place to be working in. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's a perk. Like when you join, you get an Xbox on your very first day, so you start playing.
Oh, hey.
Pretty awesome, right?
Sign me up. That doesn't sound bad at all.
Sure, we're open.
cool. So you're focusing, Microsoft does a lot of different games. Xbox is definitely the one that is known probably most widely. What other platforms or other analytics are you guys running, other systems?
So our solution is basically getting data from all the platforms, like be it iOS, Win10, Android, 360, Xbox One, or even the mobile phone. So we consume data from all these devices or the platform and then make it available for the analytics to the end users.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, and it looks like some of the games we have on the background there too. So you all of these games are kind of built by Microsoft, and you guys on your team kind of manage all the data that comes through on those, huh?
Precisely, and what is your favorite game?
Oh, my favorite game? Right now I've been playing the Tomb Raider game.
Okay.
We have an Xbox in the office, and we get some of the new games shipped down every once in a while, and it's super fun to play.
Cool.
I'm probably doing that more than I should, so don't tell Joe. when you're building these analytical systems, what are some of the personas that you're focusing on?
So to be more precise, like you asked me a question that what kind of people we keep in mind while building the solution, right?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. So who's using all this data?
So different personas, like from the game, like what are the different users? So we need to understand. One is developer. Second is data scientist, analyst, producer, or the marketing team. So if I start with developer of the game, he likes to understand whatever he is building. Whatever events he is tapping in the instrumenting in the game are flowing in correctly or not, during beta run, during test run, or whatnot. Then we have a user like analyst who like to understand what kind of KPIs. Like they generally look at the KPIs like daily average users, monthly active users, kind of KPIs to understand how exactly game is going on, right? Mm-hmm. And data scientist. Is the new kind of persona we have around.
Yeah. Everybody wants a data scientist.
Yeah, and I have a good friend who is a data scientist. So what exactly they try to gauge is, like, example will be fraud detection, anomaly detection, retention, cohort. So these kind of things they generally do with the machine learning, kind of. Mm-hmm. And the last but not least, the producer. The producers are basically interested in understanding the overall health of the game. So our telemetry solution provide answer to all these kind of questions using different tool set, which I'll be talking about.
Okay, cool. And so there's a lot of people using Halo, right? You wanted to share a blog post maybe or something that just came out kind of detailing a little bit of what that has.
So I'm going to make it as my, wallpaper.
Yeah. Imagery is awesome. So good in Halo. Yeah. It's great.
So if you notice here, this article just came out, like January 19, I think a few days back. And this article talk about how exactly Halo 5 implemented the event hub for telemetry processing, and I'll be talking the solution on the same lines because we are using more or less same kind of solution. Mm-hmm. And if you notice here, let me search on a word second, okay? In a second, if you notice here, in a second, Halo for Halo, we are processing almost a million events per second. And if you look at the in a day, I think in a day we are processing around couple of billion events.
Wow. Yeah, so serious big data. This is a big data problem and understanding of a really large data set. Complex too, I'm sure,
precisely,
as you get into that.
Precisely.
So you built a bunch of these solutions. You just kind of completed one of these. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what you build and why you built it?
Sure. So like you said already, big data, right? In big data, we try to resolve multiple V kind of problem, right? Mm-hmm. Velocity, volume, and variety, right?
Variety.
So you need to have a solution which can, you know, which can solve all these kind of problem, and that too with clicks of button, right? I need not to invest much time on, you know, setting up my environment and taking care of the machines so that, you know, there should not be some operational time I don't want to spend there. So what we built is we leverage the complete availability or you can say that complete offering of the products in the cloud to start with Event Hub, mm-hmm. right? So you must be knowing what is Event Hub, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I get a ton of questions from people in Silicon Valley who might be focusing on a lot of open source technology, and they always ask, what is this Event Hub? Is it another version of Kafka? How does it work? Is it similar to Kafka? So what do you say to those types of questions that come up?
So I literally go with the word Event Hub, right? Event Hub, it's a hub which receives all the events. So as soon as you start, like today we are in the world of devices, right? We talk about IoTs and Internet of Things and all. So everything is throwing an event, right? So you need to consume those events so that you can process it and make it available for the analytic purpose. So Event Hub is helping us with that. It's receiving all the events and making it's available down the stream so that it can be processed for further analytics or machine learning or whatever the requirements are.
Okay.
And you said Kafka?
Yeah, yes. Kafka.
Yep. I'll talk about it, Kafka, like why exactly we chose Event Hub, why not Kafka? So
okay.
in a minute, like I'll share some pretty awesome content about it.
Sure.
Maybe
sure.
You can read more. People can read more.
Yeah, sounds great.
So if you notice here, this is complete telemetry processing solution. At least it will give you a flow how exactly it goes about it. On the top, if you notice, we are receiving the events from different platform. I think you had a question earlier, either it's console or different platform.
Yeah, what types of platforms, right? Are you receiving these messages from
so
everything?
So we have small icons here, like we can see iOS, Android, Windows 10, console, so and everything and devices, everything is available. And we are receiving those events in Event Hub. Right, as I mentioned, that Event Hub is a guy which is receiving all the events. And what are these events, right? So as soon as you start playing Xbox, maybe any game, so like when you play Halo, you
yeah.
must be doing some killings and all.
I try to do some killings. Usually doesn't,
so
usually doesn't happen.
Whenever you do any action, it throws an event.
Yeah.
Okay, so like in Minecraft, when you build a block or break a block kind of thing, it is an event. When you clear a lap in the Forza, it's an event, right? So these kind of events are coming, and Event Hub is consuming it, okay? So once the data is available in the Event Hub got a retention of 7 days max, I guess, if it's changed, and to check in the documentation, which means that in Event Hub, an event can live for 7 days. So which means that we need to take out that event as soon as it's arriving, or at least within 7 days. So we have a service, it runs in a worker role, and it basically talk to Event Hub, get the events, and put that event data into a blob storage, in simple words. So it's importing from the Event Hub and exporting into a blob storage. So it's kind of a bridge between the Event Hub and the blob storage. And when we are getting the event data, it can be of any format. It can be a binary, it can be a JSON, or whatever the format the event is coming to, or in which event is instrumented,
yeah.
or whatever. And so we need to deserialize that data. So if you notice here, after getting the copy here in this block, I'm copying the same data as it is in the another blob storage. Why exactly I'm doing this is one copy, I just want to keep it for master consumption, like as a master copy. If something
mm-hmm.
happens to one copy, at least I have other copy to look forward as the backup or
no,
something.
Typical, keep it in its raw state, right?
Yeah, in the raw state. And using this blue thing, it looks like a factory, right?
Yes, yes.
So it's an Azure Data Factory. Azure Data Factory is nothing but doing ETL or ELT in the cloud. When I said ELT, it means something like extraction, loading, and transformation. If you recall, you had SSIS, or you have SSIS in
yeah.
on-prem solutions. So it's something like, you can say that SSIS in the cloud. Nobody
yeah.
will beat me for that, right?
I mean, I'll let it slide, right?
But okay.
No, it's so really what I see when a lot of the best way to explain Azure Data Factory is it's very much like the concepts of SSIS. It's a data movement and manipulation tool that allows you to build pipelines, and Azure Data Factory is just currently focused on the cloud. So
yeah,
it's
it
doing
is,
that within the cloud environment.
So we have other options also. You can talk to on-prem and like what other stuff is already available in the documentation. So I think in Channel 9 we also have videos about ADF, so you can go about it, and pretty awesome material there. So coming to this piece, so first of all we are here. Let me see. Okay. This looks like my Zoom it stopped working. Anyways. So we are just making a copy as it is from source to destination here into a blob. Why exactly we are doing it? I already explained the reason why, because we are just making a copy of it, mm-hmm. a duplicate. Now if you notice, your data is available, but data is in raw format like binary and JSON. And my client tools really can't talk to binary data, right? I need to deserialize it into a tabular format.
Yeah.
So I'm using another activity of Azure Data Factory. So in Azure Data Factory, you have pipelines. Pipelines is nothing but a flow, and then you have activities. Activities like you want to copy something, then you have a copy activity. If you want to run a Hive in your HDN site for doing some transformation, then you need to run a Hive activity. So something like that, you have a Hive activity there. This Hive activity is doing nothing but taking the source data, which is in raw format, raw JSON format, in this example, and deserializing it into a tabular format. So for that, we are using Hive queries, and Hive queries we are using UDF like JSON object, or we have an option of using surdays. So we are using all these options which are available in inbuilt Hive, and transforming data from raw to a tabular format.
Okay, and so using something like a surday, why would you use that over some of the other operations out there?
Surday is pretty awesome. It's already compiled. It's readily available instead of writing your own MapReduce. Mm-hmm. I need to learn Java. I need to be pretty awesome in writing good performance MapReduce. And for that, I need an experience. So I'm relying on the people in the open source community who are pretty awesomely experienced with Java and other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trusting that.
Yeah.
And I'm going about what is already available.
And it scales well, right? Like we had said, billions of events and able to deserialize many
yep.
of those.
And why reinventing the wheel, right? If
yeah,
it's available.
Absolutely.
Cool. So I'm using a UDF like JSON object in the Hive, and we are transforming it to readable format in the tabular at Hive tables. And that Hive tables, when we are reading it, we are inserting that data into awk tables or Parquet tables. So why exactly awk and Parquet? Because when the clients will read the data from the tables, it should be performance. So awk is nothing but optimized row columnar format.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the data format available in Hadoop. And it is performant, it is compressed, and it is columnar format. So columnar format, I think you can read more about in documentation. I'll
yep.
not go there. But it is comparison to the raw format. It is always good to have your data into a compressed and the performant format.
Yeah.
So you have an option of using Parquet or awk. It's your choice. Whichever you like, go about it.
Okay.
Cool. So once the data is available in the Hive tables, then it's time to consume the data. So you can consume that data directly from machine learning, so Azure ML. You can fire a Hive query and get data into Azure ML and do your anomaly detection or retention or cohort, these kind of machine learning or learning scenarios
mm-hmm.
you can implement. And then you can use tools like Power BI, and you can directly connect to Hive or whatever the options are available and fire your queries. Then you can use SQL Azure. So sometimes what happens is our users, they like to get data into SQL Azure, like a subset of data, not the complete events, because in events you have hundreds of columns,
yeah.
billion of records, so they need a subset of aggregate data. So what we have done is
just using the giant, the kind of like the funnel approach, right?
Yeah.
All the data lands, we keep, we store, everything is raw. Then we start to funnel that down into what's actually going to be used.
Precisely. So what we do is we have some ADF pipelines there. Again, Azure Data Factory is
mm-hmm.
awesome. It's not basically Azure Data Factory. I'll say it's awesome data factory.
Awesome.
So it's
like
help.
That.
It's helping us a lot, because here what we have done is we have written some Hive jobs again that create some aggregate tables, and
mm-hmm.
with ADF, what we do is we copy those aggregate tables on a timely fashion to SQL Azure.
Okay.
And people can consume it from, like, people who wanted to do some SQL kind of, complete SQL kind of experience, they can use SQL Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Hive is not SQL-like. It is, but you know, people have preferences, so we need to take care of those preferences
and
as well.
There's different use cases being solved a little bit in there with batch analysis over a long time period. You can easily do that in Hive, and you just might have to go and wait a little bit, where if you're running a report or you know someone needs to get understanding of the data very quickly, you can't beat the interactivity of SQL database.
Then you have Power BI, and you can have, it's not there, but you can also have Tableau model on top of your HD inside. You can create your Tableau cubes directly using ODBC drivers. You can get your data into Tableau cubes, and there also you can do some aggregates.
So, yeah.
And this, all the pipeline are running on the hourly fashion. So all the jobs of, you know, getting the data from the event hub, and then we are processing it. So we just run it on the hourly fashion.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's pretty performant, looking at how much it might be chewing through there, hypothetically, through that pipeline.
Big data, right?
Yeah, definitely a big data problem, and on an hourly basis. It's great.
Cool.
That's awesome. One thing I see you have down there is A/B testing. So are you guys doing a lot of A/B testing in games?
Yep.
How do your analytics help drive that?
So A/B testing is nothing but alpha beta testing, like if I'm getting the full form correctly. So it's you're giving a kind of experience to a set of A users, and you're giving the experience to B kind of user, right? You're grouping it and taking the output out of it, like how exactly they behave, they like the experience, and do analysis and come to a point that, okay, which experience you need to go about it. So we are providing that data also. So our events are providing that kind of information about the different kind of treatments, and we are providing to the analyst or the testing team to understand how exactly the users are behaving in different scenarios of A/B testing.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so this whole solution, if you just give me a step back a little bit and kind of talk to me a little bit more about why this solution was created in the first place and kind of some of the answers that you're hoping to get out of there.
Sure. So if you notice here, it's a big data problem we're trying to solve here. And if I imagine the solution, so right now everything is in the cloud, right? And if I want to implement the same kind of solution on-prem, it will be difficult for me. Yes, it's doable, but you know, it will be difficult to manage.
More than likely a lot of machines.
Hundreds of
machines.
You're
basically building your own data center just to manage your in-game analytics.
Yeah, precisely. Like for HD Insight, you need to manage tons of on-prem nodes, and you need to have, like I mentioned, that operation on top of it. Then some disk is not working, some machine crashed, and your operation team might be getting all the on-call things, they might not be liking it.
Yes.
So it's something like
getting
everything in the cloud. The main benefit there is scale out. So with few clicks, I'll say with three clicks, you can set up your Event Hub, right? Three or four clicks, right? You need to just go to portal. You need to go to Event Hub,
create new
and get SaaS key if you want it.
If you want authentication.
Yeah, authentication URL, and get that thing in your application, and you're good to go, right? With three clicks. And coming back to Kafka,
you promised me an answer about this.
So about Kafka, you need to set up, yes, you can do it in the cloud, right? In the cloud, I'm saying that, but you need to follow the infrastructure as a service. You need to get all the Linux machine, all the VMs, like you need to take the pain of configuring all the VMs or whatever, then you need to install Kafka, then you need to monitor it, right?
Yes.
And there's a very nice article which talks about choosing between Azure Event Hub and Kafka, and it's available on MSDN, Blogs MSDN.
And I'll make sure all this gets into the show notes.
And
both of those
here we
shown.
Have some good scenarios, similarities, and the differences between Event Hub and the Kafka. I think it will give a good content if somebody wanted to read. And Kaushik Vishwas did a good job.
Okay. Yeah, great.
Cool. About this. So that's an Event Hub thing, okay? And now second thing is blob storages. You already know that blob storages, you can keep terabyte of data there.
Yes.
And expandable. And now we are coming with
Azure Data Lake. It's going to be even easier and unlimited
on
the size of files, and as well as the throughput that you can get on that, which is cool for
scale. Precisely. So ADLS is Azure Data Lake storage. You can have unlimited, and with AD integration and all, it will be awesome kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You can implement your security and that kind of stuff. And then you can have HD Insights on top of it, which is, again, available in the cloud. You can do some clicks, and it will be available up and running. You can use HD Insight or different flavors of Hadoop. And then you can use Hive queries, activities using Azure Data Factory. And Azure Data Factory, trust me, it's pretty simple. You can learn it in a few days. And I bet, like, given the documentation which we have, it's pretty good documentation which is available on MSDN and Virtual Academy.
Okay.
And Microsoft Virtual Academy, we have pretty cool videos, and you can set up this kind of solution, and like, if you are dedicated, in 15, 20 days, I think you're good to go.
Awesome. So some of our users might be watching this and being like, all right, I'm going into work tomorrow, I'm building the game, I'm going to do some analytics, I'm going to set up this pipeline, and I'm going to start pumping out cool KPIs. What do you have to say to them? What are some of the things that you learned in building a solution like this? Some kind of hints or things that you might have struggled with to get working the first time that you can share with them now that that they might be able to use, whether that's for performance or ease of use or anything within these systems.
Sure, it doesn't apply. This kind of solution doesn't only apply to the game analytics. It applies to even if you're coming from the air conditioning industry or if you're coming from marketing. You just need to change the the flow is completely same, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're in some marketing and how many clicks you are happening, right? The Event Hub can consume it some way in the events, and you can, again, apply the same flow and get it available. So this kind of solution is kind of universal across industries. The challenges which I had was the ramp up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, if you notice, you have different, even the teammates also had that challenge, but we just came together as a study group and we learned, we took one topic and we just learned it, and in a few days we pretty much hands-on on the things like the assignments and the like I mentioned earlier, the material, the exercises which are available on the Virtual Academy, you can use that. And even on Channel 9 we have some introductory videos.
And so why don't you share with them what your background is? What did you study in university and how did you get into that?
Okay, that
would
be cool. So I'm a commerce graduate.
Sorry, I exposed him.
So I'm a commerce graduate, and while doing my college back in India, I somehow developed an interest in IT, and I switched my line completely. I joined Microsoft, and then I did my MBA in systems, and then I'm a hardcore now.
Yeah,
in the systems.
Yeah, now you're a dev for the
Xbox.
The Xbox team. That's great.
And before that, I was an escalation engineer with Microsoft custom support services. There we had some nasty issues from the enterprise customers, which we were solving.
Yeah.
So I used to do debugging and that kind of thing. So if a person who is coming from commerce background can do it, I'm sure that people who are watching it must be coming from computer science background. For them, it's a piece of cake, right?
Yeah. What do you suggest they do to kind of get into the industry? If they're looking to get into game analytics or getting into analytics in general, from both kind of the traditional SQL world as well as kind of the developer world, what do you see as the things that they should be focusing on and the skills that they should be picking up in order to make that kind of transition?
So you want to pick one programming language of your choice. For me, it's C#. Then you need to go with what are the components that are available to build a big data solution. Like taking an example here, we are starting with Event Hub. So you need to learn more about Event Hub. Now the industry is going towards Hadoop, right? Everybody is using Hadoop in some way. Like everybody is going through big data problems, so they need to solve it. So which means that people are going to use Hadoop for next good number of years, right? So you need to pick up Hadoop, and I'm sure that good amount of training material available. So let's say Event Hub, C#, Hadoop, and you're good to go. Yes, Azure Data Factory as well. And you need to learn something from the analytic or reporting perspective as well. So Power BI is there, which is, again, pretty awesome tool for presenting your data. Then you have analysis services. Then tools like reporting services are available. So you can go about it.
Yeah, cool.
And you know, the best part here is in Microsoft Virtual Academy, I'm a big fan, though. Everything is available.
I can tell. Your favorite language is C#. For data science, Python, I hear a lot about that. That's what I've been learning lately, is a lot more Python.
And I think
R gets picked up a lot. For if you want to get really into the data science part of it, I feel like R has a great set of libraries to get you started there as well.
So, and it got full integration with SQL also.
Yeah, right? I mean, a lot of these technologies doesn't have to be C#, just because that's, you know, traditionally Microsoft has been C#.
Mm-hmm.
We're supporting things like Python, Scala, are all within our Hadoop clusters, as well as in some of the other technologies that we're producing as well.
So you can pick up language of your choice, go with the technology flow, which I've shown here, and I think you'll be good in a few months, right?
Yeah, cool, awesome. And so if we look back and we take kind of look at game analytics in general, what do you see as kind of the current difficulties or challenges within the landscape, or how has it changed since you've been working in that?
So those challenges or the problems, it doesn't apply only to game analytics, right? Mm-hmm. It'll apply to any kind of analytics. So what exactly the problem is, we have data, but we don't have information. So we're data rich and information poor. I read it somewhere. I don't know
It's a great quote.
Yeah, it's a good.
I'm gonna
it's
steal
not
that one.
By me, but somebody like credits to that person whosoever has shared that somewhere in Facebook or somewhere I read
yeah,
it, right?
Wherever you read it from.
So it's a data-rich, information-poor kind of scenario. Why information poor? Because maybe we haven't had these kind of tools available, like mm-hmm. with click of button. So we are not in a position to extract the right information and make it available to the right kind of people. So now we are data rich and the information rich as well, because we have awesome tools available, like Event Hub is there. We have Azure Data Factory for doing some extraction, loading, and transformation. Then we have HD Insights. With click of button, your HD Insight cluster will be available with, like, you can go to n number of nodes based on your requirement. And then you have tools like Power BI or Tableau Model. These kind of services are available, and you can, you know, deal with that kind of requirement of people from different background, like I mentioned, developer, machine learning people, and then we have producers, then we have testers yeah. or analysts. So I think analytic problem can be, you know, solved with these kind of tools which are available and with a right mindset of, you know, knowing your problem. So if I want to solve my telemetry problem, at least I have some, you know, reference diagram in front of me mm-hmm. that, okay, you have devices, you have data coming in the event of, then you're doing some transformation and making it available. And I guess even if you go to the on-prem kind of solution, mm-hmm. you have same kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
You have some sources, data coming from different sources, you're doing a deserialization of sources or whatever you're doing, transforming some data, and you're making it available in reporting services.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, but now the best part here is we have a technology for handling a big or huge amount of data
mm-hmm.
in front of you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the HaloFall, how exactly we implemented the HD Insights there. So it's a case study about it. It's available here. I guess you will be sharing it as notes.
Yep, the notes will include these three links.
So I recommend you to read at least these two articles, and it gives you a good background of how exactly the event processing happened in the gaming industry, or okay. how exactly Microsoft is doing it.
Yeah, awesome. I'll definitely be taking a look at those, and I think everybody out there should as well.
Cool.
So yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day, building cool solutions yep. and playing games. I hope that we didn't, you know, interrupt too much of your new Tomb Raider experience.
No,
but
it was awesome. Cool.
Yeah,
thank you.
This has been great. Talk to
thank
you guys
you.
Later.